And we do have a bit of a tradition here at Hope Community Church. On Mother's Day, we put one of the moms in the congregation to work. Isn't that nice? Isn't that fair that we do that? But we're very, very blessed to have so many wonderful, godly mothers in this congregation. And we have the opportunity to hear from one of them today. And so without further ado, we're going to welcome up one of our own, Lynn Craig, to the stage. He's going to bring our message this morning. Lynn?
Sorry, it takes me a minute to get situated. So, happy Mother's Day. I'm so happy that Pastor Josh asked me to speak with you all today because Mother's Day is one of my favorite days of the year. So before I get started, though, I wanted to say a special thank you to my husband, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my best friend, and all of those who have joined me today. But even for the rest of my family that isn't here, I want to thank them all for making me feel special all year long. So I want to also thank all of you for being here. I appreciate it that it's kind of filled up. I was a little worried, so I'm glad you're all here. Thank you. And before I start, I would like to open with a prayer if I could. So please join me. Father God, thank you for this chance to talk with my brothers and sisters in Christ today. Thank you for sharing your love and wisdom with us. May the words I speak be yours and not mine. And for those with me today, please bless their ears to hear, their hearts to respond, and their lives to reflect your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was preparing to talk with y'all today, I was thinking back on what it was like when I was raising my kids. I was a mom back in the 80s and 90s, and things were different back then in a lot of ways. I think the world was less chaotic, or at least it felt that way to me. And I don't think there was as much pressure on the kids or on us as parents back then. I do think that back then, in some ways, it was easier to be a mom than it is today. But still, there's an old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And there's one thing that's never changed. It's one thing that moms universally know. And that is that they have a really important job to do. And the only way to do it and to do it well is to be a total control freak. I'm right. Tell me if I'm right. As soon as we bring these little humans into the world, they depend on us for everything. What they eat, when they sleep. We have to keep them safe and warm. And then we have to teach them how to talk, how to walk, how to navigate this great big world. And we learn that we have to fully control their environment in order to protect them. And then when they're a little bigger, then we have to make sure that they get to school and to church. We have to make sure they do their chores, practice the piano, get to baseball, football, soccer, dance, cheerleading, and any of 100 other activities. We do everything we can to nurture their little hearts and minds, and we continue to control their environment as much as we possibly can. Because at the end of the day, we want them to grow up to be faithful, well-rounded, and functional adults. But then come the teenage years. Oh my, control gets a lot harder then. But we keep trying. Every teen is facing their own brave new world, and that world is faster, heavier, and more complex than ever before as they deal with academic pressures, identity issues, and complicated social dynamics. In my mind, these have to be the hardest years of all to be a mom. So stressful. It's hard to maintain control because the forces that are pulling your child towards independence are just as strong as the forces pulling you to continue to protect and guide them. So what do? Well, you grit your teeth, you tighten your grip, and you try so very hard to keep control, even though you know in your heart you're losing it. And then if all this isn't enough, today many of us are working outside of the home, and we all know what a balancing act that is, because there just aren't enough hours in the day. And for those of you that are a single mom, well, you're likely buckling under the weight of doing it all on your own. And then there are the other people in our lives, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. They can be a source of joy in a hectic world, but they can sometimes be a source of additional stress. Do others come to you with their problems? Do they lean on you when they're going through tough times and look for you to support them? Well, they do this because of the spiritual light that shines through you. They see your strength and they want to tap into it. And because you're a good person, you want to be there for them. So I know all of this can be so hard. I remember. And moms, wherever you are in your journey today, believe me, I feel you. You're doing it. You're holding on really tight. And you're trying your very best every day to keep everything and everyone under control. Because the bottom line is, the world has taught us that we are in control and we need to be. But as Christians, we know that just because it's what the world teaches us, that doesn't mean it's true. As I was preparing, I was looking through the Bible, looking for stories about women with control issues. And I found one, and it's in Luke 10. And it's the story of two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary are very excited when they hear that Jesus is coming to their village. But then they hear that he's coming to their house. Well, that's a little different, isn't it? So Martha, she gets right to work. I can kind of just see her now. She starts running around cleaning the house and cooking the food and preparing everything and greeting everyone as they come through the door, serving them, making sure that everybody's comfortable. And she thinks her sister Mary should be helping her, but she's not. So Martha's getting more and more frustrated and anxious and resentful and actually feeling very overwhelmed. She's trying to control everything. And then she sees Mary going over and sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his teaching. And I think that kind of puts her over the edge. And she starts to complain a bit. Jesus hears her. And he turns to her and he gently corrects her anxiety. He says, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. So I don't think he was telling Martha she was wrong, and I don't think she was wrong, really, but she was overly focused on control. And I do think that the point of the story is to remind us that control in and of itself is a distraction from what's important. Instead, I think we all want to be more like Mary. She was modeling surrender, trust, and what it means to be present. And I'd like to think I'm a Mary, but if I'm going to tell you the truth, I think I have a lot of Martha in me. I don't know, I guess I have some work to do, and maybe some of you can relate to that. I don't know. But whether or not you can relate, maybe you're not even a mom. But don't go anywhere. Hang in there with me, because this next part really might hit home with some of you. Are you being controlled? Do you feel like you're being controlled by someone or by your life circumstances? Does it seem like the control you used to have over your life has slipped away, like your life is no longer your own? What a lonely place you're in. Is someone telling you what you can or can't do? Is that rebellious child threatening dire consequences if you don't let them do what they want? Or is your boss hanging that promotion over your head? You know, the one that never comes. Or here's the worst kind. Is it your life partner? Your husband or your wife? Are they pulling the strings and pushing your buttons to keep you off guard? And when did that start? I bet you didn't even know it was happening because it started so innocently. This particular brand of control begins quietly through patterns that feel small, caring, or even flattering at first. What makes it so effective is that it grows gradually, step by step, until one day you realize you've given up far more ground than you've meant to. Well, let me tell you, this kind of control, it's all about power. And it flows from fear and anxiety. The person doing it is managing their own demons and insecurities by dominating you, trying to reshape your reality. And it's common for them to try to make you think you're the controlling one. But you're not. They want you to think you're crazy. But you're not. And if this is you, I am so sorry. And if no one has ever told you this, let me be the first. You deserve better. Remember that being controlled by others who make you feel less than is not rooted in God's original design, and any relationship built on power and control is out of alignment with the Word. So please remember this, okay? Okay, sorry, that's the heavy stuff. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna tell you some things about me. Two things. Number one, sometimes, maybe many times, I've been known to be a bit controlling. I mean, look, I've been around a long time and I've learned a lot and I've been through a lot, and sometimes I just know better, or at least I think I do. So yes, I call people, I check up on them, and I make suggestions because, after all, I'm just trying to help. I think this is another area where I need to do a little more work, and trust me, that list is pretty long. But here's number two. I've been on the receiving end, the one who's been controlled by another person. And it's happened to me more than once, and every time the person doing it to me was someone I trusted, and it really hurt. And here's the craziest thing of all. On the one hand, I didn't always know when I was being controlling, and on the other hand, I didn't always know when I was the one being controlled. But I do know that whatever side of that equation I was on, that God saw me and He knew. And when I was at my scariest or lowest point, scrambling to make everything right, that God kind of tapped me on the shoulder to get my attention, and then He asked me a question. It's one that goes straight to the heart of the matter. He said, "Lynn, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired?" And I was. Sometimes I was tired because I thought I had to control every situation, solve every problem. I thought everything would fall apart if I didn't. And sometimes when I was the one being controlled, I was tired because I was always on guard and confused and afraid of what was going to happen next. But in any and all of these situations, all I wanted to do was the right thing, but often I was under so much emotional pressure, I didn't know what the right thing was. And here's the worst part. You ready for this? Even during those times when I was the most tired, at my wit's end, physically, emotionally, and spiritually tired and exhausted, that I actually believed that I had control when I really didn't, because I was trying to do things that only God can do. That family member, that friend, that coworker, they just seemed to be going off track no matter what I said or did, or that person trying to control me, confuse me, or knock me off my feet? Well, looking back, I know that every time that happened, God just wanted me to take a breath, to stop and listen, so he could remind me that it's his job to complete the work he's doing in my life and in the lives of others. In Philippians 1:6, the Apostle Paul said, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I think that's such a beautiful promise, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. It might be one of your favorites, too. The truth is that that problem that seems insurmountable, God already has it all worked out. Listen, the good news is that God can do more, much more, when we surrender than you or I can do on our own. Okay, now it's your turn. What if God asked you that same question today? Aren't you tired? And how would you answer that? Well, it's different for each of us dealing with our own unique circumstances. Are you the mom just trying to hold it all together? Or are you the wife walking on eggshells trying to keep the peace? You know you need to set some boundaries, but how in the world can you do that after all this time? I bet you're wondering how you could possibly give control over to God. Now, let me be clear. This doesn't mean we don't have anything to do. Far from it. God consistently calls us to control ourselves. Scripture tells us that God places our inner life in our hands, our thoughts, our actions, and even our secret desires. God has given us free will, and as we go through life, he knows we'll come to many crossroads. And we'll have choices to make. And sometimes the choice is between going right or left. But sometimes the choice is between going right or wrong. God tells us repeatedly across both the Old and New Testaments that self-control is something he expects us to practice and something his Spirit empowers us to live out. Listen, self-control, that's how we demonstrate our devotion to God. Proverbs 25 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." Think about that. In 2 Timothy, it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And in 2 Peter, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control." I have one more for you. This is the one I like the best. In Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So, does it sound like I have it all figured out? Sure, I'd love to tell you that. I'd love to tell you that I've arrived and I always practice perfect self-control and always give all my problems to God. But that does not always happen. There are still plenty of nights when I'm looking at the clock at 3 a.m. trying to figure it all out. It usually starts with one little thing that somebody said or did, and there I go. I'm all up in my own thoughts and feelings and trying to solve all my problems and everyone else's. I'm worrying about what will happen if I don't. Trying to resolve the hurts and frustrations that are, well, just a part of life. But I can tell you that now, more often than not, those loud voices in my head, they get interrupted, and there's a long silence, and a quiet voice says to me, "Be still and know that I am God." He reminds me to put my faith and trust in Him. He reminds me that I can't control everything, and I'm not supposed to. When I try, I end up carrying a weight that I was never designed to carry alone. What about you? What weight are you carrying, and do you feel the need for control? Why? Maybe your need for control comes from feeling out of control yourself. Family tension, work pressure, financial strain, health issues. Any and all of these can just make us feel off balance, and control is our attempt to regain our stability. Maybe your desire for control comes from good intentions. I can tell you that's always the case for me. We want to protect someone we love, to keep them from pain, to save them. But we are not their savior. There is only one savior. Maybe your need for control comes from love or fear. Well, whatever the reason, we have to learn how to release it. In humility, we need to acknowledge that our sphere of control is actually very small. So instead of obsessing over what we can't control, let's focus on what we can. Remember, God asks us to control ourselves, our words, our thoughts, our actions and reactions, our choices, our obedience. It's how we honor Him. Okay, a quick review. We talked about letting go when we're being a control freak. We talked about setting boundaries when we're under someone else's control. And maybe most important, we talked about remembering that God expects us to control ourselves. Well, I don't know about you, but none of that sounds easy. I definitely need God's help. I think we all need God's help. And help is one thing that we always have at our fingertips. Yep, you got it. We can pray. Prayer is that perfect act of surrender. It's the moment of intention when we hand our circumstances back to God and invite Him to take His rightful place. Prayer is the lifeline that pulls us out of our own heads and gently leads us back to God. It's letting go. It's freedom. It's freedom from the pressure of doing it all on our own. But even as we want that freedom, it's so very hard to let it all go, isn't it? I mean, how many times have I asked God to take control and then pulled it back and continued to try to fix everything myself? Well, that's more often than I'd like to admit, and that's something else to add to the list of things I have to work on. But those are the times that God reminds me that I am still leaning to my own understanding and not trusting Him with all my heart. Trusting Him, I want to trust Him. We need to trust Him. Trust is anchored in God's presence, not in our own strength. Trust opens the door to spirit-empowered hope. Prayer and trust are inseparable, each one feeding, strengthening, and proving the other. Prayer is how trust grows. Prayer says, God, I'm giving this to you. Trust says, and I won't take it back. Prayer and trust steady us, recenter us, and always remind us that He is God and we are not. Romans 8:28 gives us God's assurance that He is working all things for good for those who love Him. Well, prayer is how we place those all things in His hands. Your prayers matter deeply, and your trust matters more. And on that note, my time is short. So I am going to wrap things up with some final thoughts. Whether you're dealing with issues of being in control, being out of control, being controlled by someone else, I'm going to ask you today, can you, should you, be giving that burden over to God? And how about this? What if instead of focusing on control, we focused on our obedience? In His awesome power and love, God wants us, expects us. He commands us to bring our burdens to Him. So let's honor Him by doing just that. Today, on Mother's Day and every day, let's do what God has commanded, and let's trust Him to handle the rest. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this day and for our mothers. Thank You for their strength, their sacrifices, their tenderness, and the ways they quietly carry so much. And Father, as we leave here today, we are reminded of Your serenity prayer. Give us the courage to change what You've placed in our hands, the peace to release what is not ours to control, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.